Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk, where you will hear about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about us being transparent. In the studio with me today to kind of hold me up, and we'll hold each other up. I'm sure that that may change a little bit, but I've got Duke in the studio with me. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Because I know that you're busy. You're just getting over some of the stuff, and the family still has some of it, and the crud or whatever you want to call it. We have a topic today that is not unusual, or it's not unheard of from probably the majority of guys, but it has to do with the armor of God. And we're going to kind of look at it through the lens that we all look at it, but maybe we might find another way of being able to notice these pieces of armor, and we'll deal with that here momentarily. But in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit, just a little bit, not too much, encouragement for the guys who are listening. So anything come to mind on your heart?
Oh, yes, but it's a pretty good encouragement. You just wanted a little one. I don't know any little ones.
Okay, all right. Don't make me feel bad now.
Right. Well, the big encouragement for me is here this last week, I had the privilege of attending a men's assembly, all meant to honor God. Actually goes a little bit to our subject today. And it was just cool to know that, as you say, we are not alone. And to see a room full of a couple hundred guys that were all on the same page about following God and living that life, and the stories and the conversations, it was just encouraging.
Yes.
Just all around to know that these guys, by and large, there were some seekers there, but by and large, these are guys that get it. And whenever you see that in another man, it just knows that you're part of an army of guys that are just engaged in that, you know, winning that battle of spiritual warfare. Just love it.
Yeah, nice to the fellowship is what's so important in this sort of thing, and that's usually the last thing before we were willing to follow Jesus. That many of us, if not all of us, men said, you know, I don't need that type of thing. I don't need fellowship like that. Let me put it this way. Transparency. I mean, guys can gather about all sorts of things, whether it's work-related or sport-related or whatever, and, you know, fishing. Oh, yeah, we'll all go fishing. That's where it can stay sometimes. But when you're fishing for men, it's a little bit different. You start getting down into the heart and soul, and a lot of guys, you've got to be willing to say, okay, I'm willing to disclose and try to listen and see where I might play a part in this sort of thing. So, and when that happens, it's miraculous. Just like what you experienced, all of a sudden you notice all these guys are sitting there and going, man, they all want to give. They want to give it away because they've received it.
And what a variety. I mean, it wasn't like a certain type of guy.
Yeah.
It was thin, tall, short, fat, employed, unemployed. It didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about.
It is.
Being able to reach them. It's not about a demographic of, oh, gee, you just help those guys. Those are the sinners.
Yeah.
Well, wow. You know, they're even in your pews, too. So,
amen.
Anyway.
Amen.
All right. Well, listen, good encouragement. Fellowship. Seek those other brothers who are seeking God, because you will find that there is something that you have in common with that other brother. And something to learn. So
we do. We're in a spiritual battle, and to know that you got brothers that can stand beside you and help you through that, encourage you, pick you up when you fall down, whatever it is. That's That's the root of that fellowship.
Right. Well, let's break right into our topic here. That's a good segue that you had mentioned. You know, we were talking just a little bit before we got started, coming upstairs here and getting in the studio and get going and everything. You and I were talking downstairs. And you have a background of business and consulting, and you are still doing similar things. But you mentioned some things there about how some managers that you end up talking to don't have a plan. They come to work, and in some cases, yes, it's they meet customers and they talk with them, and they know that this is what their day is going to be. Okay, it's Monday, it's hump day, it's Friday, whatever, you know. And the point is that what ends up taking place is that all of a sudden they're equipped in a certain way of being able to deal with the day.
That's okay. It. Just that.
Or the fact is that in some cases, they're not totally equipped. They end up knowing that by the end of the day, I'm going to be beat up because I'm not sure exactly how to handle this sort of thing. And yet, you are able to talk to one of the overall general managers of the A department about getting his managers or the other stores in line of learning new techniques of how to look at their day. And when we talk about the whole armor of God, we sit there and we realize, we go, oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, we've all heard it. Yes, the helmet of salvation, you know, and go on, you know, all the, you know, but what does that mean? And really what it comes down to is that when we're mindful of this, it's like putting on the plan for the day.
Amen.
I've got to be able to be prepared. I got to know that I've got to have this ready and that ready, not just a cup of coffee and say, okay, let's let it fly. Let's get into it type of thing. A lot of guys use the armor of God in a military type of attitude, which is a good analogy. It's a very good analogy because mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do is be out in the battlefield. Not that all of us have been part of military, but of just knowing that you're not going to go out there. I don't care if you were bows and arrows days, whatever. You don't want to go out there unprepared, not having something to either protect yourself and to be able to be used offensively in a sense. So no matter where you were at or how you were raised, armor is really important, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And I just love the fact that Paul uses this analogy so appropriately in that day, because so many could relate to the Roman army and the fact that you need this kind of protection. But I got to tell you, Raul, and the listeners, what I embraced most about that armor of God was the first one, mm-hmm. which was the belt of truth. And when you read that, you know the belt of truth is what holds everything else up. As I was with those men this last week, or as I prepare for this kind of this advising to managers, all of the guys that I know, myself included, I guess, like to kind of get to the bottom line, to the root. You know, why should I do this? Or what makes sense? Mm-hmm. And as Jesus said in John, that he was there to testify to the truth. Mm-hmm. And as I kind of Googled that in my mm-hmm. Bible app, truth, the word truth came up 140 times. Mm-hmm. It is so foundational to what we do. So I guess what I'm saying is that what I loved about when Paul tells you to put on the armor, he starts with truth. Because without that, these other pieces just kind of hang. You're not sure they'll deflect fiery arrows of the evil one and stuff like that. But why would you put it on?
Yes.
Unless you know the purpose, the reason right. to put it on.
Most times in every relationship, it starts out when you only have one opportunity to have a first impression, right, on other people.
That's
after
right.
that, it's like, hey, you know what? I remember what you said last time or what you did last time
yeah.
or 3 times ago, whatever it is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so then you're already starting from behind and having to make up to be able to get to that place of truly gaining somebody's trust. Because to be able to get trust, you have to be speaking in truth. And when there's truth, that means that there's transparency, in a sense, to a certain degree. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're just pouring, you know, your whole life story out. No, but it's about being truthful. And knowing why you want to be truthful is so key to it, right? That's what you're talking
about. Didn't
somebody
say something about the truth will set you free?
Yes, it's been repeated over and over again so that we would continue to hear it instead of it just being a a statement that is made just to make it sound like, hey, I know what I'm talking about. But truly, do we practice it and put into works these things that we actually know or maybe haven't even experienced in some cases that they do work? But truth does work. I mean, the last thing you want in meeting somebody else is to believe or think that this person I'm talking to isn't giving me all the facts, mm-hmm. okay, about themselves or about the situation or about, because what you're hoping for is that you're hearing the truth. It happens every now and then. I'll flip on a segment on TV. It's called Cops, and you see where these guys are arrested, right? Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching it for one reason, because it so reminds me of my past, not so much the arresting part or being arrested, but as in hearing what men end up saying for the reason that something's taking place. Right. And all the police officers are trying to get, in some cases, if they can get this guy to think clearly, if he's not too out of his mind, in a sense, to speak the truth. Can you just tell me the truth? Yes, sir. And then he goes on on a story, and it's like even by his breath, you know that him taking a breath, it is not going to be the truth, And that's what we so desire, is just to hear the truth, because that will help me be able to really know how to receive you, and to, you know, we're going to be able to interact and everything.
Well, and it works so well for men,
right?
Because we process that left brain, that logic, that reason, and to be armed with accuracy, the right stuff, then we feel like we can move forward with a decision, because we're fixers. We do tend to fix. I listen to another man or even a couple when I'm discipling, and my mind is always thinking, how can I help fix this?
Yes.
You know, and a lot of times it's get out of your own way and let God do that, of course. But that's how we're, I guess, in today's vernacular, that's how we're wired.
Right.
So I guess that's, like I say, that's why I embrace this armor and truth being the foundation, the cornerstone of it, and Paul starting off that way.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we let these guys know? They already know. Why don't we read off what they are so that we can actually, maybe if we just read right through Ephesians 6.
There you go.
Chapter 14.
Yeah.
You want me to do it?
Please.
You want to do part of it?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
It's actually chapter 6.
What did I say? 14.
You
I said
did.
Verse 14.
Okay.
Chapter 6, verse 14. I'll just start right with the armor.
Okay.
The
yeah, because it goes 10 through 18. But
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
On verse 14 on my ESV, it says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Now, it sounds a little different than some NIVs or NLTs, but those are the pieces of armor that we're talking about.
And what guy can't relate? I tell you, when I learned about this armor of God thing, I embraced it for the longest time. I just kept reading it and going, wow, this makes so much sense.
Yes.
I'm protecting myself from the evil one. I'm surrounding my head around the truth. I'm putting that helmet on to protect my brain. These and the sword, the Spirit, the Word of God to fight off the enemy, mm-hmm. you know. Flee from me, Satan. You know, that whole it all just made such sense to me.
Yes.
It's just so foundational to what I refer to many times.
Well, part of what this whole thing is all about is the simple fact of reminding us, because an awful lot of the time we don't think about what really takes place in our lives as a result of accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Right.
I mean, we're stepping into a different realm that we may not have ever been familiar with or knowledgeable of, and that's the spiritual realm. And that's where all of this stuff takes place.
Yes.
That's where all this stuff takes place. It's not a matter of pulling up my bootstraps and going to the gym and getting physically fit to be able to fight off the enemy. No, it's not anything that has to do with flesh and blood. And it talks about that sort of thing. It mentions that in verse, starting at verse 10 and 11, where it mentions, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might.
Yes.
Not mine, of his might, okay? Then put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes. That's what my ESV says, the schemes of the devil, okay? In some cases, it's the wiles or whatever, but anyway, the schemes. And it says, this is what I love. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, that's a large chunk to swallow right there.
Oh, yes.
That portion, even in verse 12, there is a large, but that is something that's so important for us to understand or
yes.
try to grasp in the sense of how much we need our relationship with God, because he is spirit.
Well, and the other thing is, too, one of the other reasons that I so liked this part of the Bible is sometimes I read stuff that seems a little bit dry. I maybe can't connect the dots mm-hmm. well, don't understand it. And all of us that are into his word have experienced that. You read that passage you've read several times, then the one time you read, you go, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I get it. Well, there is such wisdom. It's kind of an A to Z thing through this whole armor of God.
Yes.
Paul reveals the whole picture, really, in this just this short version. The guys that are listening here, they could take just this one, 10 through 18 Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
and break it down and just study it.
Yep.
And be engaged in it
yep.
and be inspired to, okay, what did he mean about that? Because
yep.
it's all kind of, I don't know, kind of guy stuff. It's like, you know, it's like, whoa, okay, I get that, you know, and we want to be like strong.
That. Yes,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, to me, it's obvious the benefits of a God-led lifestyle.
Yes.
And I say obvious in that those that are really engaged in God's word, and that, you know, although we can't always say we always receive the promise, by and large we're living a happier life because we know how to handle those attacks when they come and all of that. This so puts that in perspective for me.
You know, just when you end up reading a little bit about what Paul has talked about, who he's talking to here in Ephesus, okay, and to the churches and everything, it's so, you know, we think back that, wow, okay, that applied then. But see, this is the beauty of the Word of God. It applies in our lives today. So often, I mean, we look at what's going on in our lives, and when we are in situations where maybe I'm troubled because of what's going on in my life, okay, I have no control in some areas of my life. I mean, really, other than my attitude, I have no control in people, places, or things. And yet they have an influence on my life on how I'm going to react to things that might happen today. In other words, if I'm insecure about something else in my life or bothered about something and something new comes at me, all of a sudden, it may, if it's questionable or anything, how I'm feeling is going to have a impact on how
absolutely.
I make a decision toward this other thing.
Amen.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, and guys, I mean, you know, hey, man, we're all busy. We got lots of things in our lives to be attending. We really do. Now, if you're sitting playing video games all day, boy, you've got more stuff than you realize that you need to take care of and have to deal with, okay? But I'm talking a true awareness of what our lives are like and things that are going on and the impact that our lives have on other people. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about what we're, of course, the armor itself, but the impact that we have on other people as a result of whether we're protecting ourselves or not. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one of a kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. My name is Raul. Duke is in the studio. And, you know, we're talking about the armor of God in the book of Ephesians. You know, Paul talks to in the letter to Ephesus, to the city of Ephesus, on everything that is taking place and what he is encouraging them on. They're not having any challenges in Ephesus at this time. He's just sending out a letter. It's not like there's fires that are going on. There's people that are leaving the church, or there's more of this. But he's talking in general in the book of Ephesians, okay?
Well, and he is. And depending on the version you are reading, some of the versions or translations suggest that Paul's writing to even unbelievers.
Oh, yeah.
Versus those that believe. And in, like in my NIV, he says that this is he's writing this to the church that's made up of Christians who have ever lived.
Right.
He isn't targeting, like he does in a lot of his letters.
Right.
Says, I was there however long ago, and here's what you guys need to remember.
Right.
Yeah, there's a generality to this one that's so universal.
Yeah, because in a sense, these churches are constantly having new people that are coming in. Okay, it's just like a larger church. They're trying to find out more and more. Why is this? They talk to somebody, say, hey, come on, I want you to come to our gathering that we're having. And then whatever is spoken there is what Paul usually sends out to encourage them to be able to teach to those who are coming. So this is a very important part of taking care of ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, but we talk primarily to men. So everything that we're talking about here does apply to every follower of Jesus. Okay, but I think so often we had we look at this thing where being aware of what we're going into each and every day. Why wouldn't you want to leave the house or even wake up without saying thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given me? And be with me as I put on the armor of God. Being able to even mention those pieces of armor on my knees before I even get my day going. Because I think it's so important that I submit myself to God. I need to do that on a daily basis. Not just once and saying it's all done. I got it. Or maybe once a month. No. How about each and every day? Maybe even throughout the day if necessary. But at least acknowledging at the point of awareness to my day. Thank you, Lord, for this day.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Bless me, be with me as I put on the armor of God. You know, and then go through the process of, you know, here's the deal. This is where knowing the Word of God, of memorizing it, of knowing what it is, okay, and what those are, it's so important, you know. And the more that we do it, the more it becomes a habit.
Oh, and we have to be reminded each day as you're saying that, I'm reminded of my morning prayer. Although I pray for needs of a lot of different brothers, I got to admit that as long as I guess I can remember, part of my prayer is, Lord, help me today to do your will, to put on that armor, do battle against Satan and his demons for your glory. That it's kind of a mantra in that, but I say that because it's so meaningful to me, and I really do feel like, okay, I've got to put on this protection. And, you know, the other thing that I'll say that struck me at the break, as I was saying, is same as kind of my business MO, is that so many of us are more reactive than proactive. Some guys will really understand this and get this. If we go through our day and we haven't put on that armor, we haven't started our day asking God to guide us in prayer, then we're not prepared for that battle, and we will react. What I love about the armor of God is being able to be proactive. I'm prepared for that battle. He's going to throw something my way, not in a self-righteous way, but I know I can extinguish the fiery darts.
Yes.
And I know that the breastplate is protecting my vital organs.
Yes.
And the helmet of salvation is keeping them from getting through that into my mind the wrong way.
Yes. You know, it's once again, you know, we as men, we can get, even when you're talking, it can kind of get the adrenaline going. You start thinking, okay, I have all these things of being able to do that. But really what it comes down to is that I'm really trusting and relying on God and His strength.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it says at the very beginning, okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, of His might. Because knowing that, hey, when I, you know, He reminds us over and over again, if I keep Him in the forefront of my mind on everything that I do, if everything that I do, I'm doing it for Him, you know, you've often heard it. So instead of working for that person you're working for, that you're giving the power to, how you're going to end up feeling at work and everything, how about you just keep in mind that you actually truly work for the Lord?
Hmm.
That this is part of your responsibility of whatever it is that you're responsible for at work that you're going to get a paycheck from. That paycheck, actually, it's God that's actually saying, hey, yes, you're going to get this, okay? And it doesn't matter what's taking place with that, man. It doesn't mean that you need to go around and start evangelizing. No, you're paid to do a job. And that's the job that you do. And as you do it, people are going to notice, man, you're different. There's something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they say, hey, can we do lunch together? Can we get coffee sometime? Or can we go golfing or fishing or whatever it might be? That's when you say, yeah, I think we can do that. And then go from there. But instead of sitting there thinking that I've got just, oh, I've got this, this, and this, and after I'm work, I'll be so tired, I don't know if I'll have time to want to get into the Word of God. When we start bringing this into every part of our life, every part, it becomes part of us.
Well, it becomes obvious.
Yes.
Yes.
So really what, and that's where we talk about this, we talked about it at the start of the show, it was in the encouragement and everything. We need to be around other brothers who are doing the same thing. We need to be in fellowship. It doesn't mean you have to do that every day, but something more than just a Sunday or a Saturday. Whenever it is that you end up going to church on, you know, on the weekend, you know, we want to bring more fellowship into our lives because that's, we need to be reminded. And that's usually what takes place, is that when we hang out with other men who are doing the same thing, guess what? Just like you met with those guys on Thursday, you know, you all become like-mindedness, saying, hey, we're seeking God. It's on a Thursday. It's midweek, practically, you know. But the point is the more often that we do that, you know, the better chance that we're going to be able to remember to put on the armor of God every morning, that we're going to be mindful that, hey, we're walking into a battlefield as soon as we open up our eyeballs, not just walking outside the door. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but the enemy's already hitting me as soon as my eyeballs open up and I'm starting to think about my day. That's why I need to humble and submit to God at that moment in time.
You bet. And what colonel would send a troop out to battle and have a whole bunch of guys on the front line, just have one guy say, okay, why don't you go first and go out there by yourself?
Yeah.
No. No, we don't. That's also part of what I love about this analogy is that fellowship part of it is you get to know these brothers that do put on that armor.
Yes.
And it takes practice and intentionality. It's one of God's promises. He doesn't send us out into this battlefield naked and unaware.
Yes.
That's the other thing I love about the armor of God is it's one of the resources that God makes available to us. And I think Paul even refers to it that way as a resource available, freely available to us.
Yes, yes. You know, let's take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about this before we get into a little bit more on the different pieces of the armor. I want to talk about this thing that it says, for we do not wrestle. Okay? Let's talk about
that. With flesh and blood.
The flesh and blood. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Back to Band of Brothers Radio. I want to talk about in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 primarily is the one we're talking about. And that's the one where it talks about that, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When you hear that, you're thinking almost like, man, this is like Star Wars stuff. Right? Yeah. You start thinking of things that I don't know anything about. That's in the future. And so, no. Let's pull it back. Let's come back here. This is what's been going on across the board as long as the earth has been going. Okay? There's been evil, and it's in the spiritual form, spiritual realms. Okay? I want to read what my, in my one Bible here, what it says on the commentary here. About this verse. So these who are not flesh and blood are demons over whom Satan has control. They are not mere fantasies. They are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. When we believe in Christ, these beings become our enemies, and they try every device to turn us away from him and back to sin. Although we are assured of victory, we must engage in the struggle until Christ returns, because Satan is constantly battling against all who are on the Lord's side. We need supernatural power to defeat Satan, and God has provided this by giving us His Holy Spirit within us and His armor surrounding us. If you feel discouraged, remember Jesus' words to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." So, here we're being reminded once again of what this is all about. You know, an analogy I like using an awful lot of the time when we're talking about victory and so on and so forth, our victory is in the cross, in the blood shed by Jesus on that cross, okay? That's where the victory is. We're fighting not for victory, but from victory, okay? But here's where the analogy I want to use with that realm, or with what we're talking about right there. In World War II in the South Pacific, there are many, many islands, okay, small islands throughout in areas there in the South Pacific. And the Japanese armed forces had control of those. And then, of course, when the U.S. forces came and they took care of a lot of those, and, you know, the war had come to an end, okay. There was a surrender that took place, and the war had come to an end. But in the meantime, all of these little islands, we sent armed forces there, men to come and make sure that everything's cleared out, everything's safe for people, okay? There were still Japanese soldiers there who had not heard from any of their commanders or anything that the war was over with. And guess what? They're still fighting. They're still snipers. They're still doing their thing. A lot of U.S. A lot of men died as a result of that after the war was over with, okay?
Yes.
But here's the same thing goes here. The enemy, the devil, knows that he knows where he's going.
Yeah.
He knows where he's going. But he's going to do everything he can to take as many of us as he can. with him and all his fallen angels who he's had all this time. That's why all this stuff takes place. And that's why God, Jesus, through Jesus Christ, reminds us of what it is that we need to do. And in this case here, submitting to God and using and relying on his strength and his might, right? Because all of the stuff in the heavenly realms, we may not understand it, we may not know it, but it is real. How often do, I mean, we talked about this earlier, where guys who end up, or anyone who ends up accepting Jesus for the very first time, or renewing their relationship with Christ, right? That as a result of hearing that and being in that spiritual mode of hearing that and saying, "Oh, I submit," and you're actually you're giving it all to God, and you're just saying, "Please, I want you to be my Lord and Savior." And as soon as you're finished even mentioning those things in your mind, all of a sudden you start hearing all these other voices, right? "Oh, you don't really mean that. That's okay. You just finish up with what you're saying here. When we're done tonight or this afternoon, then we'll just go on. You can enjoy life. Look, you made some new friends. That's good, but you don't have to get very close to them. Don't have to stay with them. I've got some more things in store for you that you're going to really desire. Matter of fact, I know you've been desiring." Those are all lies from the enemy.
Yes.
And you can't battle those by just shooting them away. Or shooting them away with your gun, or you know, with a sword that is of the physical realm. So the armor of God needs to be up and running, in a sense.
Yes, and as you go through the study, he points that out and so clearly that Satan's greatest offense tactics to us is to deceive us, and he's the father of lies, as John 8:44 says. I think that's why he says this is not a battle against flesh and blood.
Right.
But the principalities of, he's letting you know in advance, this is a spiritual, and those little suggestions, man, they're all around us, brother.
Right.
I mean, every day, throughout the day, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to war every day necessarily, but there is a battle, and the battle wages different ways and different through relationships, through work. You know, it's the stub your toe in the morning and then you allow Satan to get in because you're angry throughout the day.
Right.
Or whatever
right.
it is. If we just keep going back to this armor.
We just have to be, as you said, prepared and be ready. I mean, when they were building the walls of Jerusalem, when they were building those, the guys talks about that they're building with one hand and have a sword in the
other. Yes,
okay?
Yes.
No matter what warrior of any era or whatever, you know, you may not be in a physical battle at the time, but you're always carrying your gear. I mean, in Afghanistan and Iraq, these guys don't always have to get hit every day on stuff. That doesn't mean they're not doing their things that they need to do. They're doing those things, but they're prepared and ready.
Oh,
and
yes.
If you're not, if you don't have your gear on, if you don't have your armor set, you're just asking for trouble.
Yes.
Because when trouble does come, what are you going to do? You know, you're not going to be able to defend yourself or be able to be offensive or, you know, and really what it comes down to is that you just have to be aware of what's going on. And in the spiritual realms, yes. Does that mean that every day is going to be, every day? Are we not tempted on a daily basis?
Oh, yes. And I think that's part of what Paul was writing about. All Christians that have ever lived and will live, and because it's not like World War II,
yes,
where the enemy surrendered,
yes,
and things went back. We are in this spiritual battle throughout our entire lives until Jesus calls us home.
Yes.
And it's going to rage in different degrees at different times. That's why, again, I love so much this belt of truth. If I'm grounded in that truth and in God's Word, and I know that he will show up as long as I'm, you know, drawing to him and I'm bringing it to prayer and I'm saying, "Lord, help me with this, guide me with this, allow me to be strong in this." It is, again, a guy could spend weeks on just this one area.
Yes, yes. Let's take another break, and then we'll come back. I want to talk about, there's other areas of the Bible where the armor of God is actually mentioned. And I just want to just bring that up just so that gives them one more place to look. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez, isn't afraid to tackle difficult topics.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
I only see two choices when he won't go to counseling. You either keep on putting up with this, which doesn't sound like a very good idea to me, or you have to draw the hard line in the sand and say, I want to remain married to you. I want to make this marriage work, but there have to be changes because I will not live this way anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about divorce, but I'm asking you to move out, or I will move out and file for a legal separation so I'm protected financially, because I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I will not be manipulated and controlled and threatened, and I will not live like this. Mm-hmm. I want our marriage to work. I love you, but this marriage is not working currently.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand, there I was, now here I am, here I am, changed.
Back to Band Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and Duke here. We're in the closing moments here of the show. Anyway, you know, one of the things that I've found as a result of dipping into the Word of God here and there, and you end up coming up and find out that there's other places that are mentioned where Paul talks about the armor of God, and he mentions it in, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's talking to, I think it was, let's see, who was taking care of Thessalonica? Can't remember the name of who it was. Was it Timothy? It was, what's the other guy's name?
Silas?
No.
No.
Anyway.
Well, here he's talking about the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5.
5, verse 8.
Verse 8.
Yes.
This is where he says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, blah, 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 having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of hope and salvation. So here he shows up again.
Yes.
He's reminding us.
Yes, just reminding once again of what is important. Now, those of you who know the word very well, you know that you're going to sit there and you're going to go, wait a minute here. Breastplate of faith? I thought it was the
breastplate of righteousness.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was the shield of faith. Okay. Yeah. But here's the deal. I think it's not a matter of just saying, oh, he got this wrong and that wrong. The premise is the same thing. What he's trying to remind us is that there are certain characteristics, certain things that we need to be putting on to be able to, that will say this is what we are, okay? We need salvation, okay? We need to be able to know, okay, that we are saved and that God is with us. He's our Lord. He's actually going to be able to lead us, okay? Righteousness. We need to be righteous. We need to be obedient to what God wants us to be doing so that we're able to do the things that he so desires us to do. Not what we want to do, what he wants us to do, right? So faith. Without faith, man, we have nothing practically, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and that to me goes back to truth. You build faith based on that truth.
Yes, yes. And then you just ready yourself with the gospel of peace. To be able to take it anywhere that you go, all right?
It's the boots of the gospel. Amen.
That's it, to be able to take it wherever it is that you end up going, okay? And then the sword of the Spirit.
God's
word. We need his word.
Yes.
You've heard it here today, not only from memory, but we will read it, because those are the things that are so, so important for us to be able to understand and to be able to get down, okay? And one of the things I believe that is so important that sometimes we have a tendency of not neglecting, but we end up taking it for granted sometimes, of sitting there and thinking about prayer. Because prayer is one of the last things that he ends up talking about and reminding us that we so desperately need, okay, that we actually It says here in verse 18 that praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. But he says praying at all times. That's a piece of the armor.
Yes.
That's important because, and praying in the Spirit, that's praying in the mindfulness of God, you know, of being, he's our Lord, of coming to him and saying, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the courage that you give us. Thank you for the strength that you give us. Thank you for giving me discernment and wisdom, Father. Thank you for all these things that I so desire. Because what he does is that if I am being obedient or attempting to be, he's going to be blessing us, and he'll give us all those things that we want. So just start saying thank you to him.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Any closing moments, things? It's a closing time here.
No, just that last one, that the Spirit, the sword, excuse me.
Praying in the
Word
Spirit.
Word of God. Yes. Praying in the Spirit, Word of God. Man, just be into the Scriptures. Be reading this stuff. Be praying over God to discern and show you what that message is that you're supposed to receive that day, each and every day.
There you go. How about you pray for our brothers?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Father God, our Lord Jesus. Today, Lord, I would ask that you would arm these brothers with your armor, that they would put on that armor and pray to you with each piece, that you'd show them what it is that they need to see each and every day as they work towards being a reflection of you in all that they do. In your precious name.